Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The First Peoples Fund, based in Rapid City, is a nationwide organization that supports Native artists and culture bearers. The organization was founded in 1995. First Peoples Fund lists its mission as honoring and supporting the collective spirit of First Peoples artists and those who maintain and help sustain their own indigenous culture. Since 1995, the organization has given out $1.5 million in direct grants to individual artists and awarded more than $1 million to community-based organizations supporting Native artists. More than 1,000 artists have experienced First Peoples Fund's professional development trainings delivered by 30 and more artists across Indian country. This year, the First Peoples Fund is bringing its Gala for the Community Spirit Awards back to Rapid City for the first time in several years. The president of First Peoples Fund is Lori Puyer. She joins us now from our studio in Rapid City. Lori, welcome to Dakota Midday.
On Petiwash Day. That means good day, not midday, but it's close enough.
Thank you. Even better, right? Also joining us on the phone is Lynette Tubal. She's a traditional storyteller, performing artist, and culture bearer, and winner of a 2016 First Peoples Fund Community Spirit Award. Lynette, welcome to Dakota Midday as well.
Thank you. Like Lori said, on Petiwash Day, and I'm really honored to be on the phone today. Thank you.
Well, I am honored to talk to you both, and let's start with what exactly a culture bearer is. I think that deserves a deeper explanation. Lori, do you want to start with that?
Yes, we actually coined that, language, but basically a culture bearer is, someone we define who is selflessly gives of themselves in their community, who passes on the traditional knowledge. They're usually the carriers of the culture, those that are preserving, restoring, bringing back the language. You know, some of the old ceremonies, a lot of our communities where our artists come from as far as Alaska, they've had a lot of things extracted from their communities and taking out and, placed in national museums across the country. And so they're the ones that are just quietly working in their communities to restore not only cultural practices, but traditional economic practices, we had large trading economies across tribal communities, more than 200 years ago. And so these are the individuals that are standing up to make a difference in their communities.
And Lori, why is it important to have an organization like yours that sort of is dedicated to supporting those culture bearers?
Well, I think First Peoples Fund is, really important and relevant in this time in that, we have chosen to focus on two areas, and we usually say kind of the head and the heart, but at the heart of all of our programs are the Community Spirit Award honorees, those culture bearers, and those are the ones that really ground us and remind us of our responsibility to community and our role in working in tribal communities, again, from Hawaii to Alaska to Maine to the Southeast to North Carolina, and then on into Pine Ridge. So we have an economic component to our work as well, but it's those tradition bearers, the culture bearers, are the ones that really ground the artist entrepreneurs in the work. So the business side or the head side is more of the artist entrepreneurship program that we do. And we partner with Native community development financial institutions across the country. And when I started in this work, there was just a handful. And the first one was the Lakota Funds on the Pine Ridge Reservation, where I was born and raised. And I worked for an organization that founded Lakota Funds on Pine Ridge. And so today, there's over 71 of those Native CDFIs, and they receive financial support through the Department of Treasury CDFI Fund, and the Lakota Funds and Four Bands, and they're kind of the trendsetters of what's happening on a national front with Native CDFIs, both in Native communities as well as mainstream CDFI world.
Lynette, I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your work. I know some of the specific things that you're doing. What is your overall sort of mission as an artist?
Yes. We really consider art as a way of life. There's no separation between, what we do, the art, whether it's performing art or storytelling. It's a way of life to us. So in keeping that in mind, everything that we do, from working with youth to working with horses, sharing and doing trainings with right brain holistic wellness model that we put together, you know, based on all of our traditional teachings and knowledge from our parents and grandparents. You know, it's there's no separation to our personal life as well. You know, everything is connected. And so art isn't just something, you know, that's classified over here as art. It's really a way of life. So everything that you do, just like Lori mentioned, you know, even economically. So we can create, use that to create our businesses. And of course, you know, we keep it, it's all culturally sensitive. And, you know, we keep that in mind in everything that we do.
Well,
so,
I'm wondering,
you know, art is a way of life.
Yeah, and I'm wondering when you say that, I think it really resonates with a lot of people, and I'm wondering how, what are the challenges to sort of living biculturally then, when art is a way of life in your tradition, and yet you live, you know, are often bumping up against another tradition where it's not as valued.
Well, I think, you know, those are some of the teachings that we share in our medicine wheel model when we talk about a linear way of thinking and a circular way of thinking. And we run into people that, you know, are challenged by that all the time. They say, well, how can you live a circular life when you live in a linear world, you know? And when you're connected to spirit, when you're connected to your own spirit and that spirit of your ancestors and that spirit of everything around you, you know, we're connected to Mother Earth, we're connected to the water, the land, we're connected to the animal nations, we're connected to everything. So when you can, when you know that and you're connected to that place, you're always grounded and you're always centered in who you are, you know, and this applies to everybody. It doesn't just apply to Indigenous people. It applies to everybody. When you're connected to, you know, who you are and your purpose in life, it's like it doesn't matter if you're in circular or in a linear world. You're
How do you live that out on a daily basis? Tell me some way that that looks like. Give me an example.
Well, you got to take care of your spirit, first of all. You have to do those things to take care of yourself and those things that make you feel good about yourself. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, being connected to our horses. It's working with young people on a daily basis. It's not just classified over here as, okay, we're working with youth for this project. It's a daily thing. You know, we're constantly mentoring youth. Youth are coming to our home. People are coming to our home. And it's just, you know, with my husband being a chief of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, it's a responsibility that we have to take care of the people, to help the people, you know, and of giving. You know, I think First Peoples Fund always talks about the art of reciprocity. And that's so true. You know, it's like when you give, when you give, you that comes back to you, you know, it comes back to you that much more. You're blessed in many ways. So it's not just financial blessings, but it's so many other blessings that we get in life. So you got to live in gratitude, you know, you got to just those basic, simple philosophies of life, generosity, gratitude, you know, fortitude. You have to be courageous. You have to not be afraid to step out of that box. You know, and to you have to have foresight, you have to have vision, and, you know, that compassion, that love for your people and love for everything that you do. So all of those basic teachings, you know, those are just teachings of life for everybody.
Lori, may I provide a little bit of backstory to that?
I just want to, I just want to, just a little breath of silence there after that, Lynette. That was so beautiful. Thank you for what you just said. I think that's one that I'll definitely go back and listen to again and again personally, and I think it served our listeners well, so I appreciate that. Lori, go ahead, a little background there.
Yeah, I was going to mention just in terms of, you know, cultural continuity and passing on those teachings that Lynette is talking about is, you know, Lynette's grandmother, Grandmother Nellie Tubles, received our Community Spirit Award when we first founded First Peoples Fund here in Rapid City. And she had named and adopted, you know, in the Hunkah relatives, over 70 people in her community of on Pine Ridge. But she comes from the family of man afraid of his horses. And so she had, you know, gifted every year, you know, Lynette was talking about reciprocity, you know, just for her love of community and her love of family and her love of those traditional relationships, she, you know, adopted, you know, others, you know, across the country into her community. And so we recognized her. And then Philip Whiteman Jr., who's Lynette's husband from Northern Cheyenne, he was a part of First Peoples Fund's Artists and Business Leadership Program originally, and he was doing, you know, a lot of storytelling, you know, grass dancing, and then, you know, really bringing people to the Medicine Rock up there on Northern Cheyenne. And so Philip came into, you know, our program to really, how do we create the balance of the two, that it's okay for, you know, on Pine Ridge, we know that there's 50% of the their businesses are folks in homes on Pine Ridge are engaged in some sort of home-based practice, and that's what they call the informal sector economy. And in our research, market research we done on Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River, is, you know, of all of the artists that we interviewed on Pine Ridge, you know, we know that 71% of those are engaged in some sort of traditional form of art. And what Lynette was saying about, you know, we have no word, it's the a way of life, is that in all of our traveling around, you know, the country and working with artists from all over the country, is that we have no word for art in any of our languages. You know, it's what Lynette said. It's actually a practice, and it's a way of life. And we also sustained ourselves, you know, so it's okay for artists to be able to say, we want to support our family. And it's not about, you know, kind of the capitalistic way of thinking about, you know, the economic engine or whatever. You know, it's really about, they just want to be independent and self-sufficient and to be able to provide for, you know, their tewahe and their relatives and their community. So, you know, our $5,000 award that we, working capital grants that we provide to the individual artists, we can see in economic terms that multiplier effect of how it affects them, you know, not only just in terms of receiving the award, but being able to value artists as contributors to community. And so we can track an artist and show that, you know, over 18 months, that $5,000 effect came to $30,000 by just connecting this, you know, web of network of artists across the country. So, you know, it's a balance of the two, and it's okay to do both. And that's what Lynette and Philip do. They gift and give back to community, but they also run a business, you know, in terms of really teaching the medicine wheel model to mainstream America for all those horse culture lovers in the country. So they travel from Boston to New York City, all over, and that allows them to support, you know, their families as well. So it's reciprocal.
We're going to run out of time here in about 30 seconds, and I'm hoping that you two will come back or either stick around and talk to Charles Michael Ray for a little bit longer, and maybe record a little more of this we can put on our website, because it's fabulous to have you both in the studio. And Lynette, I want to know more about the Fort Robinson Outbreak Spiritual Run. Will you come back and talk to us about that sometime?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's one, you know, we've been doing that for 20 years, and you know, we're starting on planning for our 21st anniversary, and we run through South Dakota, and we've just had amazing support, you know, from the communities that we run through, and, you know, so yes, we would love to do that.
Lynette Tubbles, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations, and we appreciate
thank
your
you.
Time and your words. And Lori Puyer, thank you for being here as well. Please come back.
Thank you very much. Don't forget to join us on October 8th at the Rapid City Performing Arts Center.
Perfect. Thank you so much.